Hello, I'm Mark Elwood, and welcome back to another Nikon podcast. If you want to find any of our previous podcasts, you can go to press.nikonusa.com. Things like the amazing launch of that new range of Coolpix cameras. You can also get contact details for the team at MWW, all listed there if you've got more questions. You can probably tell I'm on location today. We're at the 2012 Photo Plus Expo at the Javits Center in New York City. We've got two special guests today, and my first one, of course, I'm going to grab and run off the floor. It's Steve Heiner. So, I have Steve Heiner with me today. Hey, Steve, how are you?
Hello, Mark. Good.
So, we're going to talk about a couple of amazing products, right?
Yes.
We're going to start off, we've got this extraordinary new addition to the Nikon One system, the world of Nikon One. Tell me about the V2.
This is kind of the evolution of the V1 we introduced just a little over a year ago. It's a totally redesigned body. It has a nice, easy to hang on to grip on it. We've used the same electronic viewfinder that we used in the V1. It's got a built-in flash, and it's got a 14.2 megapixel CX format sensor. So we've increased the resolution of this camera also.
And I think that new grip is really telling, because you're going to be able to hold it so easily, and it's so intuitive anyway.
Yeah, the body's actually smaller than a V1, so adding the handle makes it a lot more easy to hang on to, mm-hmm. especially when you've got some of our lenses like the power zoom lens on there. It makes it much easier to use.
Now, tell me, what is like the command mode dial? What's that? Why is that such a good addition?
Well, on the V1, we introduced a lot of new features that were only really accessible by the menu. Mm-hmm. And I think that we wanted to move a few of those controls back to the exterior of the camera, make them more analog so that they were easier to get to, like the familiar PS, A, and M modes that are on all of our cameras. Now you can get to them very easily because it's located right on top. And there's a command dial that makes making selections very easy, and it has a new feature where you can just push in on the edge of the dial itself to actually accept that selection. So everything about this is made to be easier and faster than before.
And also super creative. I mean, the inspiring thing about the Nikon One is it is for a regular point and shoot person who wants to expand how they take pictures, it kind of multiplies the possibilities, doesn't it?
Oh, it does, because you can do things like motion snapshot, which combines both a movie file and a still image, as well as background music. I mean, you can't do that with any other camera that I know of. We've also got a new slow view mode so that when you're taking pictures of action, it will actually buffer frames and slow down what is happening in front of you to 5 times normal speed, giving you plenty of opportunity to push the button at exactly the moment you want.
So it's like putting pause on the real world.
It is. It's like slowing everything down so that you can take the picture you want.
And this is amazing. So how much is this? Because this is a great value camera.
It is. $899 with our 10-30 kit lens.
Wow, that's fantastic. For a kind of coverall camera, that's amazing.
It is. Especially considering, you know, it shoots 15 frames a second, full autofocus at full resolution. You can even put our WU1B wireless mobile adapter in the side of it and connect it by Wi-Fi to your smartphone or tablet. Not only for remote control, but moving all your pictures into your device that you can then send to people immediately.
So I want to talk about, we've got one other extraordinary, I've got a piece of kit in front of me. I wish I could show people it. It's this huge lens, it's amazing. And it's another great value piece of kit. Tell me about this telephoto lens.
This lens is a brand new AFS 70-200mm f4 Nikkor lens. It utilizes our ED optics. It even has what we call an HRI, a high refractive index element, which helps make the design small and make it very, very sharp. And it's designed to actually incorporate our third generation vibration reduction image stabilization, which is the equivalent of 5 stops. That we've never had that before. So the ability to handhold this lens at 5 shutter speeds lower than you normally would be able to handhold it is remarkable for a lens like this.
But despite its size, this lens is super light.
It's only 29 ounces. I mean, this is considerably lighter than our 2.8 70-200. So for somebody who's concerned about the weight, not only that, it offers a tremendous value at only $13.99 for this lens. And with an f4 aperture, and of course the low light capability of all of our DSLR cameras, and the 5 stops of VR that's incorporated into this makes using this in even low light situations, a breeze.
It's like a sexy supermodel of a lens. It's kind of thin and light and da-da. But tell me also, it has some real clever technology in there, right? The nanocrystal coat, what's that all about?
The nanocrystal coat is a coating that we apply to certain elements within the lens, and it comes from our semiconductor business, and it's used to actually reduce the reflections that can occur inside of the lens, especially when you're pointing it at point light sources. But it's a coating that actually increases the contrast and the clarity in your photographs.
So it's high tech and high caliber. That's kind of amazing.
Yes, it is.
But tell me, who's this? It's not just for sports photographers, is it?
No, not necessarily. I mean, it's great for sports, and especially I can envision this lens being very useful, of course, on any of our DSLRs because they offer the ability to shoot in extremely low light. So this could be used at night sports, high school football games, things like that. But it can also be used for landscape photography, wildlife photography, and even portraiture.
Now, I want to just reemphasize, this is amazing value. How much is this extraordinary kind of supermodel of a lens?
It's $1,399.
Which is fantastic.
It is. That's an incredible price for such a powerful lens.
Thank you, Steve. I need to let you go because I know you need to be on the floor of the show. You've got a lot of people to talk to. So thank you for taking a bit of time.
Thank you, Mark.
So, I've got my second guest of the day, Robert Beck, here. Hey, Robert, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you very much.
So, what I do want to talk about is, you have been to Beijing, Atlanta, and you were in my hometown in London this summer photographing the Olympics, which must be a fascinating challenge. Tell me, what is the hardest sport to capture really well?
Of the events that I covered this year, the hardest one was the rowing. I went and I did the women's eights one day. And the start is, I don't even know how long that course is, but let's say it's a mile and a half or 2 miles or something. So I tried, you know, I get there and you do the preliminary events of all these races, whether it's track and field or whether it's swimming or whatnot. So that's a good part too, because you can shoot things, get an idea of what they look like before you shoot the finals. But so at the rowing, I tried it from the start. I tried it from the truck that moves up with the rowers as they go across the course. I shot it from the finish, and I found it really difficult to find an area that looked good. And part of the problem was those boats are so long to fit it in a frame, they became so small, and it was hard to differentiate them from the crowd and the other side of the water and whatnot. So that was, to me, that was the most difficult. That was pretty frustrating.
So tell me, as an expert in making sports photography fresh, which I think is a challenge, what... For someone who's taking a photograph of a sports event themselves, how can they rethink the way they take a picture and make it better?
Well, there's several ways to do it. I mean, there's all the technical ways to do it. You can change up the way a sport looks by using your shutter speed. So if you want to show more motion, you can go to a slower shutter speed. If you want to freeze the action, you can go to a higher shutter speed. But to me, one of the most important things is where you are, and for lack of better terms, your angle of view, you know, where you're shooting that athlete from, and you can change that up. You know, if there's 50 people in one place, maybe you can go somewhere else. And sometimes it doesn't have to be very far away. It can be just 5 feet away, and you'd be amazed at the difference of the background and how it looks, or even the foreground, or where it puts the athlete in that frame.
That's really interesting that it could be just a couple of feet. Tell me also, I know you use a D4. When you're at the Olympics, you're using that and loving it. The sort of low light sports, it's really good for that, right?
Right, absolutely. The files with the D4 are even better than the D3 and the D3S. And to us, or to me, I think all of our staff guys, that's the first thing they look at. Because if your files, when they're reprinted, look like daylight files, you're golden. You know, you don't have, that part of the equation is gone all of a sudden. You don't have to. And most of the, you know, the Olympics have really improved in their lighting. Like all the venues are the same now as far as color temperature and how bright they are. But, you know, sometimes if lights are all on one side and you want to shoot from an end, it's going to be a little bit darker. So if you can go, I mean, we're not even afraid to go to 4,000 ISO now, and it's no problem at all. So, yeah, that really helps a lot.
And before I let you leave, come on, Robert, what's your website? If people want to look at your images and take a look at the whole gamut of what you've done, what's your website?
RobertBeckPhotography.com.
Thank you so much, Robert. I really appreciate you taking some time.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it.
So thanks to Robert and to Steve for taking some time to talk today. I'm dying to get back out onto the show floor. If you want to check out some more details on that V2 and that amazing new Nikkor lens, All of the specs, as usual, are at press.nikonusa.com with the contact details of MWW there if you have any follow-up questions. Thanks for listening. We'll be back very soon.